Good morning. Please rise as you are able for the call to worship this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
glory to you forever.
Speaker, Word, and Breath of Life,
glory to you forever.
Font of blessing, living water, flowing river,
glory to you forever.
Sun, light, and burning ray,
glory to you forever.
Giver, gift, and giving, lover, beloved, and love itself.
Glory to you forever.
Rainbow of promise, ark of salvation, dove of peace.
Glory to you forever.
God who was, who is, and who is to come.
Glory to you forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace by the confession of faith to acknowledge and worship your triune name in the majesty of your unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see your in eternal glory, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please remain standing for hymn number 138, Holy, Holy, Holy. I still have the goosebumps down my body. Thanks, Mindy. Please remain standing for the as we confess who we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves.
We ignore your commandments,
stray from your way,
and follow other gods.
Have mercy on us.
Forgive us sin and bring us to new life,
that we may serve you faithfully
with honor.
God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with those around you. May be seated. Holy, holy, holy one, guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life you speak, and to give you all glory, laud, honor, and praise to your threefold name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Old Testament lesson today is from the Book of Psalms. Psalm 8, it can be found on page 492 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. This psalm is the wisdom of God for all people, the call of God to all who live. Let us listen now for God's word. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Ooh. Thank you, Miss Jane. I love that psalm. I would like to invite Miss Olivia Today's second reading comes to us from Matthew's gospel. It is good news. It is the closing of the good news of Matthew. Chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Listen now for God's word to God's people. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, so to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. That story always reminds me of the class of special friends that I worked with when I was at Overbrook Church. And I may have told you about them before. These four wonderful people taught me more about faith than anyone would have dreamed possible. You see, Tom lived with severe autism. Ron and Susie were able to hold jobs in the real world, but they also lived in group homes. And Debbie was just plain old amazing. Each Sunday, we would go through the lesson book together, and sometimes there'd be a special verse that we would all try to memorize. One of those verses was Jesus' words that we heard today. "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." I miss those friends. They took Jesus' words to heart. And it's easy to see why. These words are perhaps the most comforting in the entire Bible. But they aren't the only words of significance in the passage. There are several other phrases that cause us to sit up and take notice when we hear them. They worshiped him, but some doubted. "All authority has been given to me." "Make disciples." "Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." "And teach them to obey." These verses of Matthew's prose, especially these phrases, are packed with power, for this scene is the conclusion of Matthew's good news. He wants his readers to know the most important points of Jesus' teachings. So he's gathering them together so everyone can remember them. Now, back when this gospel was written, some of these ideas were surprising to people who hadn't heard of Jesus before, even though Matthew's audience was all Jews. For instance, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, and I tell you to go out and make disciples." These new listeners may well have said, "This man who's been disgraced by the ruling powers of both the Roman conquerors and the Jewish high priests isn't really worth that much, is he? He's on a remote desert mountain talking to just 11 other people. Not big crowds stretching as far as the eye can see. How can he claim authority? How can he send 11 people out to make disciples of all the foreign tribes of folks who reside beyond Jerusalem?" Then those early readers may have remembered that the little band of disciples were Jews too. So those men would have studied the ancient scriptures. They would know that God had promised Abraham that all the tribes of earth would one day be brought into God's family. But like most ancient promises, everyone thought it wasn't something that would happen in their lifetime. And even if it did, it would probably come about by some surreal act of God, something like Vesuvius exploding or another great flood. No one would have dreamed they'd be asked to strap on gladiator sandals and go out to invite people into God's house. We aren't much different than them, are we? Doubt creeps into us whenever we face tougher times. Do we even truly believe Jesus is Christ? I know we all have moments of doubt. We say we're his followers, but none of us have seen him, not even as the risen Christ. And isn't seeing believing? It's easy to be like the 11 who gathered on that mountaintop. They may have worshiped him, but some doubted. What's more, while we may worship Jesus as Christ, it's hard to believe Jesus' commission to make disciples is for us too. We can't make people believe in him, can we? That's like thinking we can invent the cure for cancer or clean up the environment without sacrificing jobs people have done for hundreds of years, or maybe negotiate a long-lasting peace between Ukraine and Russia. All are pretty impossible tasks for ordinary folks like us. Little wonder some of us doubt Jesus just as did some of those first disciples. These followers are confused and unsure of how to proceed in life, and here Jesus is asking them to do an overwhelmingly difficult thing: make disciples, make more followers. Yet as if anticipating our weaknesses, Matthew tells us that Jesus came and said to the men on that mountain, "All authority has been given to me." Jesus knows these men cannot go forward with this work on their own. The authority, the power to get the job done, doesn't belong to the 11. Or to us. That power, that authority, is God's alone. So Jesus is teaching them the only way they can succeed in this new mission is to rely completely on God, on God's outlandish investment in him, in Jesus, as the Son of God. And that he, as the Son, remains spiritually present with them and with all the followers who come after them. What Jesus is saying is that through faith in him, all things are possible. With these words, he's helping his friends focus on the most important work of their lives, while building up their confidence that they will be able to bear fruit. Yes, if Jesus is to fulfill his earthly mission, this topic is central to the good news. It's a core task to talk over with the disciples. No doubt those men knew they couldn't fulfill the mission on their own. To be fruitful, they'd have to rely on Jesus, on God. And together they would accomplish his mission But how does that work when Jesus is resurrected? How long could he be with them in body? Jesus offers his followers an amazing solution to their quandary. Because he is God's son, and through their faith in him, as the face of the living God, Jesus can empower them to teach all the world's peoples about his life's work, his death, and his resurrection to new life. And Jesus here is also giving them his authority to bring others into faith in him by baptizing them. Jesus's friends are to symbolically wash away the sins of those who come to believe in him as the one who connects them to God's passionate, unending, loving mercy. And when a new believer professed his or her belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior, the disciples were to proclaim the fact that they'd been reconciled to God with life-giving words. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Though the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned often in Scripture, the understanding that God's Spirit permeates the world goes back to the earliest of times. And in naming the Holy Spirit as active and present in baptism, Jesus is equating that being with God and with himself. Suddenly, the way in which the disciples could understand Jesus has changed. He had revealed himself as God's Son, as much God as man. And that Holy Spirit, which they shared, was present with them at all times. Now, truth be told, there's much more to the concept of the triune God that is explained here. The doctrine of the Trinity really didn't get established for several hundred years. But from these words, readers understand the disciples were able to leave their doubts behind and trust that whether in body or in spirit, Jesus would be with them forever. Forever. And suddenly they understood the origination of his authority, and perhaps that God was three persons in one and one person in three, a triune God. This is one hard concept for most people to get their heads around, especially if they weren't raised in the church or if they are from another faith tradition. How can a father be the Son and at the same time be the Spirit? Well, as you know, last week Olivia and I talked about how it can be helpful to think of God as we would a candle. Remember? First, you have that spark of life, of fire, that turns into the flame, which also produces smoke. St. Augustine tried to teach newcomers to the faith that the three persons of God could be remembered when looking at a tree. Think about it. The roots are wood, the trunk is also wood, and so are the branches. Three distinct parts of the same thing, the same substance. All are blending into each other. Like all analogies, this one isn't perfect. But it helps us understand the God whose power is so incredible that Jesus' followers are commanded to turn lives around for the good in that God's name. Here in church, We often talk about being in relationship with one another, right? As well as with people that we don't know and with God. God isn't some faraway concept. The creator of all life is in compassionate relationship with his human self, and together they reach into the universe through their ever-present yet usually invisible spirit. And in joy, these three forms of God come together in a whirlwind dance in which they spin so fast that you can barely see them, but which creates an energy that keeps us all spinning with life too. We are all connected to God and to each other in this joyous dance. And it's in our relationship with this triune God that gives us the capacity to go out and encourage people to find faith and then make disciples by baptizing them into the faith. My four special friends live their lives as if there's nothing better to do than worship God. They lived each moment loving God. Their faces always glowed with incredible joy, knowing that they belonged to God. And oh my, how they danced and sang together in our classroom every Sunday. Yeah, we sang and danced. What love they shared. Father, Son, and Spirit dancing in love. It's a love that they spoke of with everyone they met, friend and stranger alike. They lived the Great Commission, this go out and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. They lived it because they knew Jesus' authority came from God because he is God. I doubt that those four people ever doubted Jesus. They were and are too innocent to be anything but faithful. The rest of us? Well, we all have our moments. Moments when we veer away from trusting that Jesus or Jesus' Holy Spirit will hold us up when we're falling down or guide us to the best solution at just the right minute. Yet we too are called as disciples to trust in God's love for us, to love God in return, and to share that love with friends and strangers alike. We are to dance and sing together in joy like those four friends. And like God, Father, Son, and Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Spark, Flame, Smoke, Roots, Trunk, Branches. These are our special friends who will be with us always, always to the end of the age. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 429, Lord, You Give the Great Commission.
Lord, You give the Great Commission.
Please join me in the traditional version of the Nicene Creed. You may notice in your pew racks that there are laminated copies of the Apostolic Creed and the Nicene Creed. You may feel free to use that or also on page 15 in the hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance. Came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Excuse me.
Lift up your hearts with hope and peace. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right. O Heavenly God, it is right to give our thanks and praise. You poured your imagination into chaos, stirring all your dreams and hopes, and placing them on the palette that you called your heart, began to paint on the blank canvas of creation. Azure for clear morning skies, bright yellows for marigolds, deep green for grass in the meadows, and red and orange tickling lazy sunsets. Simply, faithfully, graciously, all was offered to those created in your image. But we preferred the absence of color in sin and would paint our lives in death's grayness. You sent prophets and artists, singers and poets to point up and back to your beauty and art. But we preferred the bleak images offered by temptation and foolishness. Finally, you appeal to your word to bring us the good news of your saving heart. Word of justice and love, you pointed to the Holy One in every word and deed, even as God blessed your every step and breath. A baby, you showed us God's vulnerability. A young child, you taught us to draw closer to God. A storyteller, you reminded us of the one who would run to scoop us up in arms of love and welcome. A lover, you enter into sin's embrace, taking the kiss
death intends for us, so that as resurrection's hope, you offer us life with you forever. Like a storm, you blew over creation's ocean. With a gust, you blow open our shuttered souls. With a light breath, you give us life. So now, breath of God, spirit of all that exists, touch the simple gifts of the bread and the cup with the sacredness of your presence and stir us from our fear and apathy. The bread which is broken is filled with your strength, so that we can go and offer freedom to the prisoner, so that we can breathe hope into our dying neighborhoods, so that we can be peace for an angry world. The cup is never drained of your grace, so that we may silence all hatred, so that we might put evil in the past, so that we might renew your fragile creation. And when we are gathered in that place to which you will direct us at the end of time, we will join with our siblings in forever praising your glory, your love, O God in community, three in one. O Heavenly Spirit, Creator God, Word made visible, we praise you in all your forms. In your wisdom, you created life and called us to serve as stewards of your world. We ask that your Spirit blow us, your church, your body on earth, towards the life you intend for each of us. Cause the fires of justice, mercy, and humbleness to warm our hearts so they may be melded in solidarity with your children the world over, who pray together on this holy day that the church may gather in unity, that our old and young may dream dreams of peace and visions of harmony. We pray that your Spirit will breathe new hope into those who are deprived of freedom or food or the dignity of a place to call home. We pray, too, for those who labor on behalf of those whose capacities are diminished by illness, condition, or age. We pray for the families and friends of those injured or killed in the train catastrophe in India. And we pray for our own families and friends that they may ever be full of the life and joy of your Spirit. O gracious Creator, merciful Redeemer, guiding Sustainer, we ask that you hear our voices as we lift them to you in unison, remembering the words you have taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We forgive our debtors to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, glory forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, on the night that he was arrested, Jesus took bread, ordinary bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which has been broken for you. Eat of it, and whenever you do so, remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant shed in my blood, sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me." This is the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Whenever you drink and eat of them, you do so remembering our risen Lord until he comes again. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the bread of life, Mindy, broken for you. Jane, this is the bread of life, broken for you. Body of Christ 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 broken for you. This is the bread of life which has been broken for you. Take and eat.
to shed for you. This is the cup of salvation, which has been spilled for you. Take, drink, remembering him. Let us pray. O gracious God, three in one, one in three, may we who have received this sacrament live in the unity of your Holy Spirit, that we may show forth your gifts to all the world. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 136, Sovereign Lord of All Creation.
It's not an easy thing to understand. Roots, trunk, branches, candle, smoke, fire. None of them are perfect analogies. Not even the rope that knotted together dances and swings in crazy joy, joy and love. But our God is truly three in one and one in three, a creator, a redeemer, a sustainer, who is with us each and every day of our lives and goes with us wherever we go. So go out to follow Jesus's command, his great commission, make
Believers, make disciples of all you meet. Share the faith with them. And then may one day they will be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We never know. God does, for God is in charge of all. Go forth with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and absolutely in the community that draws us together in that dance of love, the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.